Hi, welcome to episode 1 of the Arcade Repair Tips Question and Answer Podcast. Today we're going to be answering some of the questions you guys have sent in via YouTube and our website. I'm Jonathan Leung. I am the producer, director, and editor of the Arcade Repair Tips video series. And joining me today, of course, is Mr. Arcade Repair Tips himself, Mr. Tim Peterson. Tim, how are you doing today?
Doing fine, Jonathan. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Well, we usually do this sitting down at our computers, replying to the questions on the internet that you guys sent in, but we thought we'd do it in a little bit different format today and try a podcast out and see what you guys think. So we'll be reading your questions, and Tim will be giving his input on what you guys have sent in. So first we're going to go over our YouTube questions. Today we're going to start with Atari Forever 2002. He writes, "Hi, I have several old televisions that I wanted to pull the tubes out of and install 8-liner chassis, then use them for arcade cabinets. It's a project I've never tried before and thought it might be a good candidate for your show. What do you think?" Tim, what do you think?
I think it's a great idea, especially because, you know, most people will give you old tubes. You can go to even a TV repair shop or put an ad on Craigslist. A lot of old tubes are good to use, but they may have some modifications. You can't just grab any tube, put it in, and work with any chassis. You mentioned that about 8-liners, and I want to throw a plug out to 8liners.com. I'm pretty sure that's the number 8, L-I-N-E-R-S.com. He does this a lot, and he talks about how to do it on his website. I've actually only done this a couple times. If Michael was here, Michael is very good about this, and maybe we will put that on a future thing, kind of how to do, put an old TV in, but you know, by all means, email us back. Let us know how it's going. Make sure that you were able to figure out how to do that. What you have to do is take a meter and you measure across the neck board. I mean, where the neck comes out, those pins that the neck board plug into. Well, you know, you have to measure in ohms and make sure that it's okay to use with that chassis. And but it's not hard. It's real something easy, and as long as you have a meter, you should be able to do it. A little bit of common sense, so it may be out of my league. But let us know if I tell you what I'd really like to see, guys. We get a lot of requests to shoot a video, and there's only so many hours in a day. And you know, this site was never intended to be the Tim and Jonathan show or anything. If you want to tackle this and shoot the video yourself, I'm sure we can come up with some prizes or something for sending it in, or we'll do something. But I would really like to show this, and it may be a while before I can get around to it. But by all means, a good project to do, and something we'll definitely put down in our future.
I think we're all about community involvement. We definitely want you guys. If you guys have a good idea for a video and you know how to do it, we'd love for you guys to film it for us, you know, and maybe we'll even give out some prizes. We'll put it up on our website, because we've always wanted it to be more of a community website than just like Tim said, like the Tim show or anything like that. So we do a lot of videos obviously just for education, but we definitely want as much community involvement as we can get. So we hope that that answers Atari Forever 2002's question. What were you going to say, Tim?
Just encourage you guys, you know, in these days and times, this is a good way to save some money. And a lot of TVs won't have the burn-in that an arcade. So some of you guys have working monitors. Let's talk about pre-1990 games, and the burn-in is bad. But the game works, and the colors look good, and you don't mind. Well, this would be a cheap way that we can talk to him, and maybe we can do a video ourselves, too, a good way to get a new looking tube without spending the money.
Sure. Yeah, I know what you mean by the old 90s games with the burn-in. Street Fighter 2, for instance, those health bars at the top are pretty common. So, okay, with that being said, let's go ahead and move on to 1974 Cactus Jack's question. "Dude, can you tell me this? I bought 8 Zaimitsu PS14 KN buttons. How do I get them to light up if I have a Mad Cats Tournament Edition fight stick? Any information would be helpful. Thanks. Great vid, dude."
Okay, dude, number one, I think that goes to Jonathan, because I don't know what those were. I'm old school, but yeah. John, that's some kind of fighting stick that you use?
Yeah, or? I mean, it sounds like he's got just like a Mad Catz Tournament Edition fighting stick. I mean, it just sounds like a regular fighting stick. It might be for his console, might not be for an arcade per se. But I looked up the Saimitsu buttons, and they're just like any lighted push button that you're going to get. You know, they work fine as a push button without having any power to them, but you have to get power to it if you're going to make them light up. So I don't know if he's having problems with them working. It sounds like he's more just having problems with them actually lighting up.
Right.
And so he's going to have to definitely get some power to those buttons. Typically, what voltage is that? Like 5 volts, 12 volts going up to like a lighted push button?
It can be either 5 or 12. And a lot of that depends on what kind of light bulb is in there. And I think we did a chart on that one time. Guys can go back and look. Typically, I would say maybe 8 out of 10 are 12 volts. And that would be a 161 very common light bulb. You can get that at any auto parts store. But guys, if you're going to use them, man, you can go to like pinballlife.com. Just about any arcade person, I think Pinball Life sells them $1 a box. For 10, so 10 cents each.
Mm-hmm.
They'll probably cost you $1 a piece at an auto parts store, but if you only need one or two by the time you ship them, the way it typically works is, if you're looking at that button, two wires are going to your switch. Okay, that'd be the little red cherry switch. Has three prongs. One should be on the bottom, and one should be on the one next to it, or the normally open position, so that when you push the button, it tells the computer or the motherboard to do an action, like kick. If you'll notice that it's inside of a white, or could be a different color, I guess, but typically white holder, and on those two outsides, those are your wiring for your lights. So all you need is from your power supply, you need to run one ground to one side, and then the 12 volts on your power supply, run a wire to the other side. Now what you can do is daisy chain these together. In other words, you can run a wire to your terminal, you put two wires, hook the terminal up, and jumper over to the next one, to the next button, to the next button. You'll lose a little bit of voltage, but usually not enough to, you know, you can light 10 or 12 buttons like that. And that'd be the best way. If you really need me to go into a little bit more detail, or you would like some pictures or something, just email us back. So the two outside that aren't attached to the switch will actually come out of that little lamp holder. The lamp holder itself, you're going to run 12 volts to one side and a ground to the other side. You can even jumper the ground off of the switch if you know what the ground is, but be careful about that because you don't want to run voltage to your switch. Anyway, it's pretty simple to do. If you have coin lights in your game, look how they're wired, because it's going to kind of be the same, although I'm not sure what kind of lights your coins have. There's a lot of different kinds, but you can actually jumper off the coin lights if you just had to or wanted to.
I really don't know if 1974 Cactus Jack has this in a arcade cabinet, or if he's trying to do this for a console fight stick. I mean, that's the biggest question.
Yeah.
But either way, he should be able to get power from somewhere, even if he has to like wire up a little something in there to make sure that he gets that 12 volts that he needs to light those buttons. So, you know, I think it's definitely a doable project, and I think the buttons that you bought are good. You're just going to have to run power up to the other side, and I would definitely refer you to our video on replacing lights in an arcade cabinet. That we did. That one's very helpful for this particular situation.
Yeah, I think it shows some pictures of that.
Yeah, we got some good stuff in there. Okay, now this next one we've actually got, it looks like the same submission from two different screen names. You know, this could be two different people, but it's pretty much the exact same thing. But I'll go ahead and read both of them. The first one is from Corndog125 Nalald. I hope I'm saying that right.
I like corndogs.
Yeah, me too. It says, "Hey there, guys. Totally digging what you got on here. I've got an issue. I have a Capcom bowling game. The whites and the blacks come out fine, but it seems like my blues and yellows are switched. Basically, the bowling alley is blue, and the surrounding area is kind of yellow-ish. Any idea where I should start for troubleshooting this?" Now, the second one is from Michael Varcade, username, and it says, "Hi, I'm having an issue with my Capcom bowling machine. I've been working to restore it for about a week now, and just recently got the thing running. It's working great now, except it seems that the blues and yellows are switched on the game. And for the most part, I have no red. I tried to mess with the knobs in the back, and they did change the colors, but it seems like they are actually switched. In case you have trouble getting what I'm saying, I did make a video of this problem, and I have posted it. So we'll have to take a look at that. I don't think we have. But just from what they're saying here, Tim, what do you think the problem is?
Well, it sounds like he's done everything that he could do, and it is possible that they are switched. A couple things that I would look at is that's not a JAMA game, but we can,
you know, is it? Not for sure. I would actually think it is, but I'm not for sure. It's definitely something we'd have to look up, but
we need to find out. Anyway, what we need to find is the pinouts, because maybe on your monitor chassis, it usually should go red, green, blue, ground, then sync. I would find those wires coming from your motherboard up to your monitor chassis and make sure that they go like that, red, green, blue, ground, sync. Now, if that's correct, what could be the case, and probably even more likely, is if you'll notice the yoke wires coming, they could be the red and the yellow, I mean the blue and the yellow, right? Is that what he's saying?
Yeah, blue
the
and
blue
yellow.
And the yellow could be swapped.
Yeah, if you don't know what he's talking about, yeah,
really,
if you don't,
like some pictures of this guy.
Yeah, if you don't know what he's talking about with the yoke wires are some wires on your monitor. Usually they're colored, so they're real easy to find. They go to the chassis, what, from the tube, Tim?
Yeah, but those a lot of times have to do with like the orientation, upside down, left and right. I'm going to venture and say it's more in his harness or... Well, I really would like some pictures of that chassis.
We'll have to check
out
the video on this one.
Yes, the video, man, it's what we use to help you guys. Sometimes when you send a question in, a video or some pictures would tremendously help us because it's hard troubleshooting from this far away. It sounds more like his wiring from his game is switched.
Right. So coming from the PCB to the monitor is what you're talking about, those wires, correct?
Yes, because the others would more switch his orientation and stuff. Oh, unless, I mean, like something crazy like going to his neck board. You know, you never know what somebody else has done to a machine.
Sure.
And is this a new problem or is it something that's ever since he's had the game? Those kind of questions will tell us a lot. Like if he says, it's always been like this ever since I picked up the game. Well, somebody monkeyed around, maybe Corndog over there. He was fiddling with it before he sold it to you. I don't know. Sorry, Corndog. But anyway, you never know. A little background on where you got the game and so forth. If it's a new problem that arised out of nowhere and you hadn't touched anything, it could be a board issue. Could be something that your game board is doing real squirrely. You could have shorts somewhere in your tube or something. But it just to me, it sounds like somebody wired in. Because a lot of people, when they're hooking up those wires to the monitor chassis, that's where you need to do some tracking. Find that group of wires. And they're usually colored that color. Not always, but... You know, I'm looking at a game right now, and I can spot it from, 10 feet away. But if you didn't know what you're looking for, it'll be on the outside of the chassis, usually in a white connector, and it'll usually have about 5, 6, 7 wires, and they'll be usually that colored, red, green, blue. A lot of times you'll hear a monitor, you ever heard of a monitor called an RGB? That's what they're talking about, red, green, blue, and typical arcade monitor. So, yeah, get us that video. I'd like to look at that real close.
Yeah, and one thing I did want to just throw in here as an addition is me and Tim have both worked in the arcade operator line of work, and whenever you work as an arcade operator, you'll do pretty much anything to get that game running, and sometimes the quick fixes that you do to get that game running, you know, you don't think are going to be permanent, but they end up being permanent, and they sometimes can cause some weird issues with the game later on. So, I mean, because it's an operator's job to keep the game running. It doesn't matter how, just to keep that game running, because if the game's not running, it doesn't make money.
Right. And so, they don't care if the colors are mixed. If it takes money, they'll leave it like that on a Saturday or something when they're there doing repair.
Right, because it's better than having a game down.
Yeah.
And so, and they think, oh, that'll just be a temporary fix. I'll come back and fix it, and sometimes they don't ever get around to it. So that's just something I would, you know, like to keep in mind. Whenever you pick up a game at an auction, you know, like Tim says, you really don't know where it's been, and any operator could have fiddled with some stuff just to make sure it would be working for just a little bit, so you might have some problems here and there. You know, obviously, this doesn't sound like a major problem, because this game is actually working, which is nice, but yeah. It's definitely something you want to fix.
Oh, you know, worst case scenario, get us some pictures. I bet we can figure this out. But you can always send it to us.
Sure. Okay, the next one is a website question. So we're moving on to our website questions, and this one's from Ann Weiland. She says, we recently purchased a classic Arkanoid 2 game and had it shipped from New Jersey to Wisconsin, and are having troubles getting the monitor to display correctly. We have adjusted the controls as you described above, but we are seeing four images repeated rather than just one. Any ideas? Tim?
I would definitely get a new pair of glasses and probably not drink as much this holiday season. No, just teasing. Guys, excuse the sense of humor here, but... you know, I assume, Jonathan, when she says they had it shipped, it must have been working. You know, surely...
I think we can assume that. I you know, it's real hard to tell from the email whether or not it was working when it actually shipped.
Right. And, I mean, did they say everything was fine? You saw pictures of it? You saw, you know... I mean, because, you know, the fact is, if it was working and now it's not, I'm gonna tend to lean towards a board issue on this one. If you had said double image... We might be looking at the orientation on the monitor or something, maybe a, you know...
Like a medium res versus a standard res,
yeah,
or something like that.
Yeah, maybe it's plugged in wrong. But I bet you this game was working when they shipped it. And now it's not. Well, okay, I don't know how roads are in Wisconsin. And where are they from?
New Jersey to Wisconsin,
Jersey?
It says.
Wow, what a trip. I can go across town in Texas and my game will get all jostled. So I can't imagine making a trip like that. So what happens is all those chips on the board, and you know, we don't want to get too detailed on your repair. You know, it's what you feel comfortable with. If it was my board, I would take and look at the socketed chips and push them in really good with your thumb. Make sure that they're making a good connection. A lot of times we'll pull them out, clean them with a light wire brush or something, and put them back on there. Also, the big connector where all your wires go into your board, unplug that, take a pencil eraser, and clean where the contacts on the board, they look like a bunch of gold teeth down there, and clean all them, and then put that connector back on there. A lot of times your board is just, after a trip like that, is getting a lot of jiggling and stuff, you know, and just not quite making the connection that it did. A pretty popular game. We actually have a test machine. If you feel comfortable and you want to just send it to us, we can send it to you. And I mean, we'll test it for you for free if need be and let you know if it is a board issue. At least we can eliminate that. But keep us informed. I really think that, number one, if it worked from the get-go. Now, if you bought it from somebody at a, let's say it was at a pawn shop, and they're like, oh, we didn't even plug it in. Hey, maybe you have some monitor issues, maybe the wrong monitor in there, but being that it probably worked and now it's not, don't despair. That's pretty common, especially with moving games like that.
Yeah, Tim's real famous for saying, you know, you move an arcade game from one side of the room to the other, there's a good chance it's not going to work.
Yeah, I have a game sitting in there. A minute ago, we turned Galaga on and it was displaying some funky stuff, And it just hadn't been turned on in a while. You know, you get old corroded connections and different things. That's why we said on that connector board, we need to shoot a video on that, Jonathan, just how to simply clean a connector. And believe it or not, that's not a Texas fix. That is a well-known fix on how to clean them. Take a pencil eraser, a good one, and rub across them, and that'll sometimes help that out.
Sure. And, yeah, so, those are some good recommendations from Tim. I think... You know, like we said, moving games is always dangerous. You never know, you know, what's going to happen in the interim. And so, you know, I think, you know, just clean that connector up is going to be a good solution.
Send me a picture of the screenshot. I want to see what it looks like.
Yeah, I want to see this. I'm curious about the four images repeated, too. So, Annie, if you're out there, yeah, just go ahead and send us a screenshot of something if our fixes don't work here for you.
If it's four specific graphic images, like the ball, but not... the whole screen, then we're probably definitely looking at the board. If it's the whole screen, you know, we're maybe looking at a monitor type issue, but or the monitor just not getting the right connections.
Sure.
Man, do what I do every day. Unplug and plug everything back in, reseat it.
Sounds good. Okay, we're going to move on to Rick Anzalone's question. He writes, I have a Donkey Kong 2 board set game. There are a few sound problems with it. It keeps playing the same background music from a section of the completion of the rivet board. It also is missing other sounds in the game, such as monkey laughing hammer, striking objects, and effect of jumping over objects. I don't know what section of the board controls these actions. Please help me understand where to look. Also, the colors are not very bright and not correct no matter how much I adjust everything. Is this a symptom of caps or bulb? It still has original Sanyo monitor. Thank you for your time. Now, first off, I think, you know, not to kind of tackle these in reverse order, but I think when he's talking about bulb, I think he might be saying maybe tube. I'm not really sure what he means there, because, you know, like, CRTs don't really have a bulb, per se. But, but we'll get to that second. I just wanted to kind of throw that in there before we get to it. Let's answer his first question, though. We're having some sounds with our Donkey Kong 2 board set. They're not working correctly. Where do we go from here?
It's trash. Send it to me. Give it to me for Christmas. It's probably not his board set. One common problem with Nintendo monitors, I assume you said Sanyo, so it's probably an easy monitor, which mounts vertically up inside your game. If you'll notice that there is a small board near your chassis, and it has like a bunch of little pots and different things. Very, very, very common problem that these guys have sound issues. You can go to arcadeshop.com. You can go to bobroberts.net, and you can check and tell them you need a Nintendo Easy Sanyo Chassis audio repair kit. Costs you about $10. It's just a few caps, probably 15 to 20 minutes of your time. You know, if you're not comfortable and don't want to do that, you can send it to us and we can repair it for a minimal fee. And, you know, we can take care of that for you. It's probably that sound audio amp needs repaired. And now this is not part of your motherboard. We're talking about on the chassis of your monitor itself. The second part you talked about, we're always going to recommend that you do a cap kit. If you've seen our last video, or maybe on the DVD that we have coming out, we talk about cap kits. So keep in mind, a cap kit is a shotgun fix. You know, you can diagnose which caps are bad, but let me tell you one thing about it. Probably the most time-consuming, I'm not going to say hardest, but probably the most time-consuming monitor to cap is that one. It takes forever to get it out. Doesn't take long to fix it. Takes forever to get it all apart. If you've looked at many arcade games, you probably noticed, wow, this one's a little different. And keep that in mind that it's not hard to do. It's just time consuming. And from our standpoint, you know, we charge extra to do one, but we're not outrageous on the price. If you don't feel comfortable, by all means, you know, we can shoot that. We can do that for him. But
yeah, and
caps would definitely help your colors and maybe your brightness.
Yeah, you know, and that's something I think we talk about in installing a cap kit, that video, if you guys haven't seen it, is that some of the symptoms, if you've read the article, some of the symptoms that go along with a cap kit repair, some of the things that you need to look for if you want to do a cap kit repair. And, of course, one of them is washed out colors. And, you know, contrast is always a big thing, brightness. And so, you know, that definitely sounds like it has that cap kit type of symptom to it. You know, so we're definitely going to say caps. Tubes, you know, tubes are pretty durable for the most part,
Sanyo,
I would
say. So everybody's got their opinion. I would say Sanyo is probably the most durable.
Mm-hmm.
I've hardly ever seen a Sanyo tube that needs rejuvenated or is gone out.
Sure.
They just last and last. They're like energizers of the arcade game monitors.
Well, you know, and we talk about, you know, we've talked about like Electro Home Geo7s before, you know, and a lot of people tell us from, you know, back during the 80s when they were making them, that they were low-end monitors to begin with when they were putting them into the games. You know, that might not have been the case with the Sanyo. It might have actually been a higher-end monitor for that time period if it doesn't get the same kind of symptoms that the others get. So, you know, I really think that you know, Tim's right on this one. You know, that soundboard on the monitor is very common for Nintendo games, you know.
Now, remember that on that soundboard is also, there's all those adjustment knobs down there. There's a brightness there. And then you have a brightness on your flyback. It may be the, if you remember, there's always two brightnesses, kind of, if that's a word. Two brightness adjustments that you can do to a monitor. So if you haven't seen our video on adjusting a monitor, remember there's two places. So make sure that you're actually turning both of them and maybe some contrast up.
Sure. Now that was a good question. Thank you, Rick, for that one. We're going to go ahead and move on. This is the last question, and this is from Randall. And he says, I have a Ghost and Goblins with a Hanterex MTC-900 that the top of the play screen is in the middle of the screen. I have replaced the pot that adjusts the vertical positioning. Any idea where to begin? The monitor has been recapped by someone recently. Thanks. So, okay, Tim, we have a Hanterex MTC-900 monitor.
Well, you know, when we were kind of looking at these questions earlier, now the more that I'm thinking about it, this is exactly what Michael was talking about the other day. Sounds like his IC, his vertical IC, has gone bad. And if you'll look for the yellow wire coming off of your tube to where it goes into the board, pretty close to there is an IC chip that probably needs to be replaced.
So you're thinking this is the IC chip?
I think it's failing, it's collapsing. And I think if it's already done a cap kit won't fix that. It's probably that IC. It's one of Michael's specialties. If you can't get it fixed, I would highly recommend you send it in to us, because it's not something he wouldn't charge a lot for and can do it professionally.
We just recently shot a video, finished up. You'll see it probably on the website in the next week or two. On more troubleshooting monitors with Michael. We went to Michael's shop this time in Sulphur Springs, Texas, and actually got some more video with him and did some really great stuff. So that's going to be really good if you guys, you know, want to see more about the vertical IC and how it works and everything. So okay, well, that about wraps it up for all the questions that we've had this week. But before we sign off here, Tim, let's go ahead and talk some news. You know, we've got the holiday season coming up and everything, and we've been thinking that we want to go ahead and release our Arcade Repair Tips Volume 1 DVD, which covers pretty much all of the standard definition videos that we shot on the website before we got our high-definition camera, which are things like laminating an arcade cabinet, installing a cap kit, troubleshooting monitors with Michael, the first one is on there, and some other things as well. But I think you're going to see a little store coming up on the website pretty soon where we're going to have this all set up. So if you guys are interested in getting that for yourself or a loved one for this holiday season, you know, be on the lookout for that. So, Tim, you want to throw in anything as far as our news is concerned?
Yeah, I keep forgetting. I'm talking about things they haven't seen yet, because we've shot several videos. So every week, be looking for some new videos to come out. And keep making suggestions. Keep writing. We really appreciate these calls and letters. I get calls on my phone. I don't mind, guys, when you call or email. The more description that you can give, make sure, send pictures when you can. Shoot a video yourself if you got the capabilities with your camera and things. And send it to us. Sometimes the pictures, you know, are worth 1,000 words. So yeah. I like those when I get pictures. A lot of times I can look at something and tell a lot more.
As far as contacting us, Tim at the end of every video says you can either call or email. We usually don't give out the number, but we'll go ahead and give it out on the podcast here. The number is 903-481-9827. Or that's 903-481-9VAR. So if you guys call that number, you'll get either me or Tim, and we can help you out with anything that you guys might need help with. Of course, you can also reply to any of the video posts that we have on YouTube. We also look at all of those. We look at all of the comments on the website. And you can email us, of course. Tim is tpeterson@varcadeentertainment.com, and I'm jleung, L-E-U-N-G. @varcadeentertainment.com. You can also click the author name in any of the posts, and it'll allow you to send an email to them as well. So we highly recommend that you contact us. That's four methods that you can use to contact us: website, YouTube, you can phone it in, or you can email us. So, you know, if you guys have a problem, please feel free to do it, and we'll go ahead and we'll probably keep these podcasts up here to where we can reply to them in more of a verbal fashion and maybe get you to understand a little bit better, you know, the solutions to the problems you might be having. Tim, anything else you want to throw in before we sign off?
Yeah, also, I like to hear updates. So if you've taken a video and worked on something and it's fixed something, you know, that's the kind of stuff that keeps us going and lets us know that this stuff is actually helping somebody out there. So by all means, if you got an update or some of these questions, update us. Say, hey, I did this and it worked or it didn't work, or where should I go to from now, or whatever.
Yeah, we don't give up. That's the biggest thing. We will continually troubleshoot a game until we get it working. You know, we don't have very many games that we've given up on. You know, we've probably worked on, me and Tim alone have probably worked on, you know, hundreds of thousands of games over the years, you know, just between the stuff we pick up for auctions, and of course Tim's work at Chuck E. Cheese, where he's the technician at. So, you know, it's, for us, you know, we're going to help you out any way we can. So, you know, please let us know if you guys need any more help. But I think that's going to finish it up for us today. You know, Tim, thank you for having me. Maybe next time we can get Michael or Jerry or one of our other guys on here to do a little third chair for us. But Tim, thanks again for answering all the questions and being on here with me today. And you guys look out for more videos in the future.
Thank you guys for watching.
Thanks.